podcast.
No, podcast.
We are live. Not live. Just recorded. Just recorded. There's no pressure.
Raw.
Oh no, it's gonna be raw.
I want her to do that. Oh shit, this could be dangerous.
Yes, and all of the words. This is rated NC-17. Yes, for the audience. Hi everyone, this is Jason Sanssouci. I am here at probably one of my favorite conferences of the year. It's Geo Week, not just because it's got so much cool tech and so many cool people, but I live here, so it makes it really easy to get here. Yeah, so there's that. I am here with just a fantastic person, a great influencer. I love her stuff on LinkedIn, all of her content. I'm here with Elaine Ball. Elaine, welcome to the show.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hello. All right, no. That's,
you do make me laugh, though, because you have got a right radio voice.
Oh, good. This is going to be even better. Okay. So, you know, just for the audience, I would love just give us a high-level raw overview. What is it that you're doing here at GeoWeek?
Which version do you want? Do you
Whatever
want the
version you want.
Right. We'll start with EBL, which is my business, which I set up 11 years ago. We are on a mission to up-level the industry in sales and marketing strategies.
Because we're shit at that, right?
Yeah, literally. I'm sorry. Yeah. So, but the reason being is that when I set this company up, he's smiling, by the way, you should see his cheesy grin. So when I set this company up, when I had MDL, back in the MDL days, I was very conscious of being in this little bubble, and you only know what you know. And every time I got strategists in, marketeers in, salespeople in, I had to train them on the industry's lingo. So we were in measurement, in mining, oil and gas, not necessarily land survey, but all those measurements. And we had to go and explain to them over and over again about the different things. And it was, I'm like, you're charging me a fortune. So when we sold out in 2012 to Renishaw, I set then Elaine Ball Limited up. And it mainly has three arms, I would say. The Academy we launched in lockdown because nobody knew how to find customers online. That was number one. So that is amazing. So that we are, that is the starter to get people going and get a blueprint and what they're supposed to do. Then we do retainer work. So we actually are a bolt-on marketing department for all sorts of companies, survey companies, software companies, equipment manufacturers. And then of course I do consultancy, which I absolutely love.
Isn't that so much fun?
Yeah. And you get into the hearts and minds of businesses and you realize also how some businesses, why they are shit. I'm sorry, but you do, because you realize, I know what I know and I know what I trained in, but you can see why they are stuck, because you're in a bubble. If you think about it, you only know what you know. So if you're in a bubble, you can't always see the problem. I come in and go, let's just unplug that ditch, and then suddenly it starts flowing. Woo!
Okay. We're going to continue down this. This is probably going to be one of my favorite interviews of the day, without a doubt. So I want to dive into sort of some real world. So you're all about real world challenges, right? So I really want to dive into what is it like, so like just trying to bring this technology, the geospatial technology industry, great tools, great tech, great background foundations. It's far reaching. What's it really like bringing this technology, marketing this technology to all of these different disparate customers? And like, how do you overcome those hurdles?
Yeah, that's a really good question, actually. The thing is, it's a technical audience, right, who's coming up with the technology. So they're either surveyors and technicians in the first place, or they're equipment manufacturers, come from software or technical, and they have a really cool innovation. But they don't know who their buyer is. Even the surveyor doesn't even know who their buyer is. And in the traditional way, they would have got referrals, right? And if they're good, they'll get more referrals. But how do you expand your market? You need to understand the whole customer journey. So we look at the customer journey. So that's how we start to understand what's going on, and then they can move forward with it. So if you look around this show today, how many stands actually says what it does on the tin? Yeah. Not many. Yeah, good point. And everybody, when you go to a show, you should do that. You should go around and go, does it say what it does on the tin? That's the problem, because then they get stuck. The other thing is, when you go to a show, say they have a QR code on their banner, like we do, of course. Where does that QR code go? This is good, they at least have got one.
Cool.
There's a couple of people that I've been noticing. It usually takes them to somewhere like, sign up to our free software for 6 weeks, right? It's too cold. when you're at a show, people are new to you. If they don't know who you are, they want to nosy around. Think about how you go and buy your new equipment for your little podcast. You do the research before you actually phone the company, don't you? Because you don't want to be bombarded with a salesperson going, buy my stuff, right? So do the research. So you've got to produce the content in the customer journey at different stages to warm up the buyer so then they go and buy from you.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what it is. It's that simple. I mean, I do it all the time, of course, but it's the process. It's not magic. And also, which really pisses me off, is everybody thinks marketing is the coloring in department. It's the exhibition organizer. It's the brochure. No, it's a lead generator. Marketing generates leads.
Yeah.
It does branding, but you still have to generate leads. It's all about money. Get the money. Get the meat.
I think it's hilarious. So, because my wife is an art director, and so like marketing, I think she thinks it's hilarious that I do this creative stuff because I'm a scientist, so it's really fun. And she's like, "What are you doing?"
Scientist.
That's right, a drone scientist. So it's just really funny to me that to hear that because I don't view it that way. Like I'm like, no, this is. You want to do sales without marketing? Good luck. Good luck. It's just not going to happen. You want to earn trust without marketing? Good luck. It's not going to happen.
I think maybe the word marketing is the wrong word to use. Because, yeah, and that's why we've got on our banner, increase your profits. So that's, people go, yeah, show me how. Money.
Money.
Like marketing, like I do loads of sales training for companies, especially resellers. And they're like, oh, marketing just sorts out our exhibition. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, but how long's your sales cycle? As an example, oh, it's 6 weeks or it's 6 months or whatever. Right, do you want to shorten that sales cycle? Yeah, how do I do that? Marketing, content. And they're like,
Oh, it hurts. It hurts my head. Okay.
In the marketing world, so we keep up to date with the marketing industry. That's our job. But because of my background, our background, being in the industry, being from here, the profession, the survey profession, we tie them together. I mean, it's behind. It's either 10, 15, even more, 20 years behind in the marketing world. But I mean, it's skipping a few things like, you know, ChatGPT is involved now. But people don't know how to use that.
No.
They're like, how do I use it for marketing? Oh, there's so many cool ways you can use it. It's amazing.
I use it all the time. Okay, so I want to talk about reality versus expectation because this is sort of a big topic, right? Especially when you talk about anything related to tech, right? Anything related to any tech, reality versus expectation is a big thing, especially if there's a gap anywhere. So like, I love stories so much. I would just love to sort of like hear, look, I'm sure you or your customers, you specifically, and I know I have, ever had a, wow, that didn't go as planned kind of moment. So like, tell me about that. And then like, kind of tell me like, how did that sort of reshape your strategy and thinking?
Can you rephrase that a little
bit? Yeah. So like if people learn, like they fail forward, if they're doing it right, failure is okay. They fail forward and you learn something. It reshapes the way you do it the next time. Tell me a story related to that.
Okay, cool. So there's lots of little stories. Thinking of one particular one at the moment that I'm working with, they have got they're a survey company, quite a large survey company, about 25 people, a medium survey company maybe, not large, but they are in the UK, the other British, this one's a British company, but we've put down a course of action. Now, what is very interesting, I move very fast. When we do any project work, the first 6 weeks are mad. Because we have to get you going so quickly to get a return. You need to start seeing stuff that's happening. So when we started with this particular company, and it's quite normal, the expectation I say to them, I says, this is going to be quick when we start going. You're going to be like, holy shit.
Fire hose.
Well, I got called a firecracker the other week. This girl's a firecracker. And I'm just like, yeah. And we throw them in the deep end. We started doing webinars with them, with their customers. So they've already launched 2 webinars and we've been with them 3 months. And they can't believe they've already had 60, they had 60 qualified leads in the first 2 months, 30 on each one. And they've got 3 sales qualified leads from the second webinar, which could be up to $100,000 in sales, right? But it also freaks them out because and this is a learning curve for me because I move quickly. And as my team always say to me, yeah, but you are unique that way, Elaine. My whole team moves fast. because that's what we are. But sometimes I need to let them be. So like I almost need to go, okay, so let's have a breather and let them just digest what's happening, because they're like, they've hit the ground so fast running and they've gone from literally slug pace to like hare pace and they don't know what's hit them. So sometimes, so from a learning perspective, from my perspective, I have to sort of go, okay, they're expected, I need to slow it down a little bit. The other thing as well is, working with another company here in the US, we hit the ground running really fast with those guys, right? And it came very clear, because we're content generators. So we focus on the content generation that builds a quality lead that gives you a good lead, right? That's what we do. This company wanted slightly different marketing. And it wasn't clear at the beginning because they weren't quite sure. We thought, we'll build their brand, we'll start things moving and go for it. And that was all good, but it wasn't what they wanted. So the learning curve there is I just stopped the contract. Right? It's okay. I don't mind. I don't want to waste their money. We don't want to waste people's money. It was a 6-month contract, but we were 3 months in. I thought, do you know what? This is not fair. They need to pivot. And that's okay. But that's the thing is, from like my perspective, it's got to be morally correct. I don't want to just take people's money, because I wouldn't want that to happen to me. So from a learning curve, what I've learned from that story is, sometimes we have to sort of go, enough's enough. You need to have this as a strategy, not what we've got as an example. So they're the two ones that I would say I've got straight into my mind when you started saying it. I was like, yeah, yeah.
I like that. No. And there's important lessons there. So another, I'm going to pivot, and I'm literally going to wear the actual hat I'm wearing right now, but not the Do You Know Drones hat. I'm going to put a different hat on. And I've actually been asking this question. I'm going to keep asking it all day, because this industry, and it's sort of one of the themes of the conference, this industry has a workforce shortage, yeah. Right? The pros that are using these tools are becoming more and more. A lot of people are retiring. They're not seeing, everyone wants to be a YouTube star, you know, or do video games to make millions of dollars. They don't want to dive into sort of these, what I call skilled trades, like mapping and surveying. So I want to talk about what's across the hall from us, getting kids into survey. I love that so much, and let me tell you why. So I also have a nonprofit, and that nonprofit is called Neurodiversity Works, literally the hat I'm wearing. I said I was switching hats. I was being real. And that we prepare autistic students for careers in the drone industry, but also geospatial, robotics, IoT, whatever they want to do. Cool, they want to be YouTube stars and use drones? Fantastic. We'll point them to someone to help them with that. But I see what you are doing in getting kids into survey. Tell me a little bit about it, and tell me how it is helping, how it is going to help sort of fill this workforce shortage in the future.
Yeah, so first, it's not a nonprofit. It makes money. But the money goes back into resources. Because we looked at making it a charity, and all I got from lawyers and accountants was like, holy shit, Elaine, if you want to take this global, you're going to have jurisdiction issues everywhere. So just make so much money that you can actually put it back in. So that's what we're doing. Get Kids in Survey started off as a bit of fun. So 2017, in the UK, ironically, they said to me, at the Survey Association said, we've got an AGM coming up. Would you put some information about marketing in the survey packs? I said, I tell you what, I am working with this cartoonist for Topodox. Topodox is a client. And I said, why don't I make a poster about about surveyors and what surveyors do? So we came up with this poster. We had a dinosaur, and we had a bull chasing a surveyor across a field, and there was all sorts of random stuff. We had trig points in there. It was great, and it was fun. It was like a marketer's dream, because you could go really creative and actually really focus on a problem, an issue that's happening. The posters went viral. Everybody's like, can I have a poster, have you got more posters? And I'm like, shit, oh my god. And I just got a few of my close friends, I just asked them, can you give me some money? And they were like, yeah, we'll give you some money. Because it's for outreach, people like that. So that starts off like that. Then it snowballed. And then over the few years, we put it online. And it's all supported by industry. It's supported by industry, it's supported by the profession. So all the money we've raised is through businesses. Surveyors, equipment manufacturers, software houses, whoever. So none of it we've got from raising any money. It's all through industry. It's great, right? With it, people get characters, so they can sponsor it by getting a character, so they could to design their own character. And the most hilarious thing about it is they go geeking out massively. But the point being is, we didn't realize what we'd opened a can of worms. So it went viral, and I thought, okay, that's good. Now, we're based out of the UK, even though it's a global initiative, and we've got NSPS. They were doing loads of work for us, shipping posters all over the States, Task Force in Australia, and then Civil Engineering Society of Civil Engineers, or whatever they're called. I apologize for that, guys. getting the name wrong. So they distribute the posters, because we want the quality posters. People love the posters. And we thought, do you know what? We are only scratching the surface. So I went to InterGeo 2 years ago, and Jennifer called me for the InterGeo TV. She's gone this InterGeo TV. Okay, go on that. So I said two things without thinking about it. One, I'm going to franchise it, and two, I'm going to get into Minecraft. So they are big goals. Anyway, cut a long story short, we have launched our first franchise, which is Trent Keenan at Diamondback Land Surveyors. He does a shit ton of outreach, right? He's going all over. It makes sense that he can then use our branding to get the exposure, because we're good marketeers, so we know how to expose the brand of survey. So our first point of contact is the profession and the industry itself, right? Then we have a brand ambassador network, which is now supported by Topcon. So Topcon are helping us support the brand ambassadors, which they are fantastic. Dave, big shout out to Dave Bennett in the UK, and of course the guys over in California office. I think that's where they're based, the California team. Anyway, Topcon team. So they're helping us support that, so we can actually nurture them, because that's not doesn't make any money for us, but we need to support these guys that love survey, because surveyors are passionate about what they do. They love it. And of course, anybody who's in geospatial tech, they geek out. They're geeks. We're geeks. It's fine. I'm a geospatial marketing geek, so anyway. So Trent goes to lots of outreach stuff. He's quite unique. And what's quite interesting is every single one he goes to, he always asks the audience, how many of you guys know about Getkin Survey? It's gone from like 20% in the room to like, he got like 75% of the room are putting the hand up. And he's getting like 400 or 500 surveyors in a room. So I'm like, this is good, right? This is a long-term initiative. And we were like, what do we do? So the reason why we franchised it is that we can get the message local, global. So Trent can get to all those businesses in Nevada that we would never be able to do because we don't know. And they might not be on LinkedIn, they might not be online, whatever. So he can focus it, so we can build it up. And that's what we want to do with all the other states. So he's taken 13 states. And then the idea now is we need to find guys for the middle part of the US and then East Coast. And then, of course, we're working with several other people around the world to build that. And the whole point is that it's the initiative is brand awareness and building. Now, the posters are great, but the homework projects, which you can sponsor, you get a character, but then we customize the homework project related to your business. So, for example, one of my favorites is Storm Geomatics, the river surveyors in the UK. They specialize in water-based survey. And when you do their homework project, it's all about, you know, sustainability, ecology, you know, the biology side of things. It doesn't really talk about their brand, but their brand is in the text, is in the visuals. So as the kids grow up, they get to see stuff. So they're aware of it, because nobody's aware of survey. Paola started with us, working with us last year, and she didn't even know it existed, survey. You don't. You know about engineers and bridge building, but how do you know where the bridge has been put? Where on the world, on the planet is it located? Nobody knows about that. And the same with all sorts. She's saying no idea. So that's what we did, and that's how we're starting to build on it. So, and we're gaining the stats now. Like Trent's got loads more stats because he's out there with the kids. And we're focusing on like the franchisees and the sponsors and building and building and building. So we're literally snowballing that now.
I love this so much. And I can literally sit here all day. I do have another interview that I'm probably 10 minutes late for. And that's okay. That's okay, because I have this conversation has been amazing. Elaine, thank you so much for joining me on the show. I think it's been really just truth-telling at its maximum. And you are just a gem to talk to and a gem of this industry. And it's fun. I love it. And we will absolutely need to chat again. And just thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks, guys. Woo!
That was awesome.
There you go.